with their presiding deities. He, for this reason, etasmai, unto him, haranti, offer, balim, paraphernalia for worship, adritaha, with great pleasure. Translation by His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by the great demigods, controllers of universal affairs. When He is satisfied, nothing is impossible to achieve. For this reason, all the demigods, presiding deities of different planets, as well as the inhabitants of their planets, take great pleasure in offering all kinds of paraphernalia for His worship. Please repeat the translation responsibly. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by the great demigods, controllers of universal affairs. When He is satisfied, nothing is impossible to achieve. For this reason, all the demigods, presiding deities of different planets, as well as the inhabitants of their planets, take great pleasure in offering all kinds of paraphernalia for His worship. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All Vedic civilization is summarized in this verse. All living entities, either on this planet or on the other planets, have to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their respective duties. When He is satisfied, all necessities of life are automatically supplied. In the Vedas it is also stated, Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kaman, Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. From the Vedas we understand that He is supplying everyone's necessities, and we can actually see that the lower animals, the birds and the bees, have no business or profession, yet they are not dying for want of food. They are all living in nature's way, and they all have the necessities of life provided, namely eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Human society, however, has artificially created a type of civilization which makes one forgetful of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Modern society even enables one to forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead's grace and mercy. Consequently, modern civilized man is always unhappy and in need of things. People do not know that the ultimate goal of life is to approach Lord Vishnu and satisfy Him. They have taken this materialistic way of life as everything and have become captivated by materialistic activities. Indeed, their leaders are always encouraging them to follow this path, and the general populace, being ignorant of the laws of God, are following their blind leaders down the path of unhappiness. In order to rectify this world situation, all people should be trained in Krishna consciousness and act in accordance with the Varnashram system. The state should also see that the people are engaged in satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the primary duty of the state. The Krishna consciousness movement was started to convince the general populace to adopt the best process by which to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus solve all problems. Om Ajnana Tibandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Tamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyate Deshtarine. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of the senior devotees. So we are in the fourth canto at Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the 14th chapter. So just to give a brief background. So we have been seeing right in the earlier part of this, chapters of this canto, how Dhruv Maharaj achieved the impossible, right? Because in that translation here, it is given that when the Lord is satisfied, nothing is impossible to achieve. So that has already been shown right, in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Radharaj Shri ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshmana ki jai. So it has already been shown in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj that nothing is impossible to achieve when the Lord is satisfied. Dhruva Maharaj got a position which was even greater than the greatest being in the universe, which is Lord Brahma. He got an abode which is even greater than Brahma Loka. So after finishing Dhruva Maharaj's pastime, that was in the 12th chapter of this canto, we are in the 14th chapter now. So after finishing that, there was a description given of the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. So one might ask why this description was given. Because in the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya, right, Vidura, he asked Maitreya Muni, after hearing the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, he asked about the Prachetas. Because the Prachetas were mentioned, so he asked about the Prachetas. Vidura asked about the Prachetas. So Maitreya Muni wanted to now answer about the Prachetas, but the Prachetas, they are in the line of the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. So therefore the 13th chapter we see is describing the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. So but in the line of Dhruva Maharaj, in the line of descendants of Dhruva Maharaj, there is Maharaj Ang right in between. So when Vidura, when Maitreya Muni is describing about Maharaj Ang at that time, then this story starts about how Maharaj Ang, he was so pure actually, right? And he was ruling the kingdom very righteously, very nicely, very good government. Right? There's a lot of discussion about governments in these chapters now. Right? A lot of chapters are going to speak about good government. What is good government? And what is bad government? By showing what is bad government, automatically, right, one can understand what is good government also. And Srila Prabhupada in the subsequent chapters, in the subsequent purports, he gives lot of comments about how good government should be. That he is going to speak about. So Maharaj Anga, we all know that he was very pure, but he had a very cruel, merciless son. Right, King Vena, right, who was born because Maharaj Anga had to marry, he married Sunita, who was the daughter of death, not Yamraj. Right, normally when you say Lord of Death, it is Yamraj, but this is Mrityu. Right, so it is also right. So how did King Vena get such a cruel, merciless behavior or nature? Because normally the son goes by the maternal, right, he gets the qualities of the maternal side. So since the Sunita's father, right, is the Lord of Death, so in that sense he got the qualities of the maternal, on the maternal side. So when Maharaj Ang, he got detached because of having such a son, right, Maharaj Ang got detached. And sometimes people think, right, so many people think, oh, I've got such a bad son. And so Srimad Bhagavatam here is showing through this episode that how, right, having a bad son can also be seen very positively. Not only seen positively, it's actually positive for a devotee in one sense. Sometimes the Lord arranges, here the Lord has arranged that Maharaj Anga, instead of doing tapasya, right, in spite of doing so much austerity, in spite of being so pure, he got such a son. But the benefit was that he got detachment from his, otherwise he would have got attached if the nice son was there. Right, and then the grandson would also be nice and, you know, there'll be problem. So, even in the story of Maharaj Chitraketu, we see, right, he also had a son, a very nice son, beautiful son, whom he lost, right, Harshashoka. So one might think, son has died, it is a very bad thing, right? Such a nice devotee, Maharaj Chitraketu, got darshan of the Lord Shankarshana, and of course he lost his son before that, but he was a good devotee, and he lost his son. By these episodes, right, the Srimad Bhagavatam is showing us that even though there might be suffering, suffering in the sense shocks in the life of a devotee, still one should understand that it can be the arrangement of the Lord and should be taken positively, and one should continue to be in devotional service, right? Take suffering in a positive way. So the sages, when they saw that Maharaj Anga left, then they put Veena on the throne. And then the situation was very, very delicate, right? The analogy is given, like an ant is sitting on a log. There is a wood, piece of wood, and the ant is sitting on that, and both ends of the log, they are on fire. And so the ant is in trouble from both sides. So the citizens, they were in trouble from this side, from King Veena, cruel, very merciless, atheistic attitude, and from the thieves and rogues on the other side. So very delicate situation, and the sages decided that first we will try to give some good advice to King Veena, and then if he doesn't listen to such good advice, then we'll finish him off, right? And then we'll do something better. So from verse 14 onwards till 22nd, right, we are on the 20th verse. From 14 till 22nd, this is what is the advice being given by the sages. So the sages are advising now, look, right, you better rectify yourself. And if you don't rectify, then hari bol. Like that. So this is the advice being given here. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that human society, however, has artificially created a type of civilization which makes one forgetful of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Modern society even enables one to forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead's grace and mercy. Consequently, modern civilized man is always unhappy and in need of things. So Prabhupada is bringing out that how modern civilization or modern people have created such a civilization that people very comfortably can forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is designed that in such a way that you can forget. And the main crux of modern civilization is technology, right? Technological advancement. So technological advancement in fact makes one forget of the reality. What is the reality of the material world? The reality of the modern world is, it is designed for suffering. Right? It is designed for suffering. Why suffering? Because when one understands, right, one understands through suffering, one can understand that, oh, I have done something wrong. Right? Something is wrong in this world. And, right, this is, I cannot stay nicely in this world, so therefore let me seek out, right, what is the path to happiness? But what is technology doing? Technological advancement is aiming at making the suffering disappear somehow or other, like a painkiller. Right, a painkiller actually does not do any good to health. It hides the pain, but actually the disease is there, deep rooted inside, and then eventually a person loses his life. So technology is like that painkiller. Through means of technology, right, one makes one's life comfortably miserable. Right, comfortably miserable. This Chaitanya Charan Prabhu's words from Pune. Right, he gives a very nice article on technology. Is it a boon or a blessing? So he has mentioned some good things. So he was mentioning that how by means of technology, we have converted the necessities into luxuries and the luxuries into necessities. Right, today we are seeing, right, if you go out, there will be big, big hoardings. And the hoardings won't be talking about roti, kapda and makan, which are the actual necessities of life, which are the bare minimum necessities of life. So they are not being spoken about. Nobody advertises, you know, good, you know, this food grains or this or that. No, nothing like that. What is being advertised is the mobile phone and the laptop and the iPods right, these are all actually luxuries. And what is happening is that people are being bombarded by this advertisement so much that they start feeling that unless I have a mobile, it is not possible for me to exist. What is a mobile doing? Right? Earlier, there was not much opportunity to talk nonsense to many people. Right? Now there is an opportunity, you can talk nonsense worldwide. Right? More opportunity for speaking nonsense. Right? So, and even a person who doesn't even have proper things to eat or to live properly, he starts dreaming about having a, right, maybe a BlackBerry or, right, some other mobile phone, costly mobile phone. Right, I was approached by a devotee, right, for a loan, right, approaching the wrong person, Brahmachari, and right, for a loan for what? He said that one devotee said, 15,000 ka mobile hai, 10,000 mein mil raha hai. I want to take, please help me, please give me a loan. I asked him, what is your salary? He said, 2,000 rupees. 2,000 rupees, right, you have barely enough to eat and, right, sleep and defend yourself, and you want 10,000 ka mobile. Yes, all these features are there, everything is there. What is the use? So this is what is happening because of these advertisements. All the luxuries, big, big things, right, those which are not absolutely necessary for us to survive, right, these are being given as necessities. Right, you will go to a jhopadi, you will find all the modern electronic instruments maybe, right, but they don't have sufficient food to eat, right, or but a television will be there, color television with all the channels and everything, right, with the remote and this and that, right, everything is there. But so what is happening is not only is technology making luxuries into necessities, but it's also making people forget about the goal of life. Why? Because, right, through technology, one starts understanding that the wrong understanding that life is meant for enjoyment. And you can enjoy more and more if you have more and more gadgets. You can control more and more if you have gadgets. So instead of teaching that Krishna is a controller, we are being taught more and more that you are the controller, and with this button and, right, with the click of a mouse, you can control. Right? So what to speak of karmis, even devotees sometimes can fall prey to these things. Right? Technology can be used as yukta vairagya, but technology can also be used in the other sense. One can be in a trap. Whatever is minimum required for the service of Krishna can be accepted. But if the devotees also think that I should have the latest gadgets, the latest mobile phone, the latest laptop, the latest iPod, more and more GB, right? They start comparing GBs. Tumhara kitna GB hai? Right? Mine is 160 GB latest. How much is yours? Only 30 GB, 2 GB, 1 GB. What are you doing? Not advancing. So if the devotees also start thinking like that, then GB means gadbad. Right? More GB means more gadbad. So one should not be after technology, right? We should see whatever is minimum required for the service of Krishna. So here also it is being spoken that everything must be performed for the satisfaction of Krishna, which is Varnashrama system basically. So satisfaction everybody is interested in, but not Krishna's satisfaction, right? One's own satisfaction. In fact, the soul has descended into the world for one's own satisfaction, one's own pleasure. There is a pleasure hunt. There is a search for one's own happiness. So therefore in the Vedas, right, it is said all Vedic civilization is summarized in this verse Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport. What is the meaning? The meaning is that people, they may be in different grades of seeking pleasure and seeking happiness. But there is no problem if everything is done for the pleasure of Krishna. So in the beginning, right, we see on the lowest rung, right, there is Vikarma. On the lowest rung there is vikarma. Vikarma means one wants pleasure but one does not care about how the pleasure is going to come. One wants pleasure somehow or other. So that is called vikarma. Nunam pramate kurute vikarma. Right, Lord Rishabhdev says, one becomes mad after sensual enjoyment, does not care how it's going to come. So that is on the lowest rung. Then on the higher rung, one step after that is how one legalizes one's source of enjoyment or one's source of pleasure by adhering to the Vedas. So what is this? So this is the Varnasram system. Because one cannot go to directly jump to hearing and chanting, right? 24 hours, right? Which is what is the primary goal of life. But that cannot be done. Therefore, Varnashram system is there. Because one has cultural needs, social needs, intellectual needs, mental needs. So all these needs, right, they are there. They cannot be just simply thrown away or neglected. So therefore, a social system is made, this Varnashram system, which allows for all these needs and also then gradually elevates the person. So therefore a person, right, he agrees legally, right, to enjoy legally, and he starts following the Karmakanda system. He wants pleasure, right, but he wants pleasure only if the Lord desires it, or he wants pleasure through the legal system. So he starts performing the Karmakanda sacrifices, but in order to perform Karmakanda sacrifices, he has to adhere to the Varnashram system. That means he has to be situated in his proper Varna and his proper Ashrama. So first step, right, is done. Right, he is already into the system now. He is following the system. So that is elevation. So then when he is doing this Karmakanda sacrifices, he first does it for benefits within this life. For a good son, for good health, right? So like that, sacrifices are there. For each desire, there is a sacrifice mentioned in the Karmakanda section. So he performs the sacrifices, and the Brahmanas who are performing the sacrifices, they start giving him instructions. They start telling him that, yeah, good, right? You are now following the Varnasam system, and do this yagya, you'll get this. So by performing this, there is purification and there is gradual elevation. Then he comes, when he is more purified, then the Brahmanas, they give him more advice. They tell him that, hey Baba, you are just doing some sacrifices for benefits in this life. But if you can actually increase your standard of living. You want pleasure, right? So if you want pleasure, you can have thousands and thousands of times more pleasure. Oh, really? How can I have? Right, that is the question. So then the Brahmanas tell him, you can have more pleasure by going to the heavenly planets. Really? Right? How can I go? Oh, you have to perform some other sacrifices. You have to perform, right? So then, oh, what are the benefits of going to the heavenly planets? Oh, long life. Here only, right, few years you can enjoy, but there, right, so long duration of life, standard of pleasure is much, much more higher. Oh, yeah, sounds good. Right, okay, let's start. Right, so then he agrees to perform. But then, what has happened in this transaction is that because of performing those sacrifices, his faith in the Vedas grows. Because he obtains a son or whatever he wanted by doing those sacrifices, his faith is increasing in the Vedas. Then faith in the Brahmanas is also increasing. So then he performs for the heavenly planets and everything, right? Then he gets more purification by performing. So this is a gradual ladder. One need not know, go through the gradual ladder. But this is how a person actually in the Vedas, it is given gradual elevation. So then one comes to the point of understanding further. So what is that? So the Brahmanas tell him that you are performing sacrifices for going to the heavenly planets, but heaven may be gadbad hai. What is that? Oh, yes. Right, shinya punya marta lokam vishanti. You will fall down, right, when your pious activities are finished. And not only that, right, sometimes Indra is also in trouble. And so many times the asuras attack. Oh, really? And why should I go there? right? You tell me now what to do. So they ask the Brahmanas, right? So then the Brahmanas will give further advice. Oh, this heavenly planet is also temporary, everything is temporary. Why don't you do something permanent? Really, what should I do? You go to the spiritual world. Jai Shishi, Radha Rasperi ki jai, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Nang ki jai. Please open the doors. So when gradual purification happens like this, right, then he is informed that, the best thing is to go to the spiritual world. He says, okay, then what do I have to do? Then they advise him that you have to perform karma yoga. Instead of karma kanda, he jumps to the next section of the Vedas. This is the gyan kanda section of the Vedas. So then he starts performing, right, what is known as karma yoga. So the jnana yogis, they are against karma because they think that if we perform karma, then we'll be entangled in this world. So therefore, they want to separate themselves from all karma. Just like Arjuna is saying that, let me go to the jungle. I don't want to perform my duty. I will go to the jungle and remain inactive. So this is the jnana yogi mentality. So the jnana yogi, they want to separate themselves from karma. And the karmis want to enjoy. So both are in trouble in one way. Right? Both are in trouble. So there is an in-between path which mixes both karma and jnana. Which mixes both karma and jnana. So when karma is performed, it is not given up. Throughout the entire Bhagavad Gita, this is what is being stressed by Lord Krishna. In the entire Bhagavad Gita, this is the advice being given to Arjuna. What is the advice? Perform your activity, perform karma on the platform of jnana. Don't give up activity, perform karma but on the platform of jnana. That means work but with knowledge and detachment. So this is also known in the second chapter as Buddhi Yoga, where karma, performing karma on the platform of jnana. This is also known as Buddhi Yoga. With one's intelligence, one tries to perform activity, right, on the platform of knowledge. What knowledge? Knowledge that one is not one's body, right? One is spirit soul, and knowledge about the super soul, knowledge about Krishna. So one performs activity, right, on the platform of knowledge. So this is also known as Varnashrama system or Buddhi Yoga, like that. So when one comes to the platform, right, of Karma Yoga or Nishkam Karma Yoga, that means one is working without attachment to the fruits. One is working without attachment to the fruits. This is Karma Yoga. Nishkam Karma Yoga. Prabhupada sometimes equated Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga, right, because Prabhupada is very compassionate. Right, any page of Bhagavad Gita you open, right, the critics of Bhagavad Gita as it is, they are trying to find, what is this? Karma Yoga also mentioned as Bhakti Yoga. In Jnana Yoga also Bhakti Yoga. Everywhere Bhakti Yoga. The critics, right, there is one book written by Shivram Swami, The Bhakti and the Purports, something like that. So, right, he mentions that how the critics there after Prabhupada saying that, where is Karma Yoga also is mentioned as Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, everywhere Bhakti Yoga. Right, so this is actually Srila Prabhupada's special compassion. He didn't want anybody to take the lower rungs at all. He wanted everybody to take to Bhakti Yoga. This special compassion of the Acharya. But otherwise there is a technical difference between Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. The technical difference between Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga is that in Karma Yoga, right, there is a verse 9.27. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kontaya tat kurushva madarpana. So this verse is technically speaking about Karma Yoga, wherein Krishna is saying that you do whatever you want to do, legal, and then you do it as an offering to me, you give it to me. So this is basically Karma Yoga, wherein the surrender is after the activity is performed. Once you perform the activity, surrender the results, this is Karma Yoga. Whereas in Bhakti Yoga, The surrender is before the activity is performed. Right from the beginning, when the activity is performed, there is surrender. So Krishna is saying, right, Bhagavad Gita, that while working, you think about me. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. So in the beginning itself of the activity, surrender is there. Whereas in Karma Yoga, the surrender is later on, after the activity. This is technically speaking the difference between Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. So, when one comes to the platform of Nishkam Karma Yoga, then one is detached from the fruits of the activities. And then depending upon one's attachment, right, one has to have both detachment from the material world and attachment to Krishna. Right, attachment to Krishna in his different aspects. So depending upon these both things, one gets the destination. But one has to be, any transcendentalist has to be on the platform of Nishkam Karma Yoga, wherein he is detached from the fruits. If he is detached, then what is the benefit? The benefit is he does not get any reaction for the work which he is performing. And then depending upon one's attachment could be to the Brahma Jyoti. So if a person is on the platform of Nishkam Karma Yoga, he gets no reaction, but he is attached to Brahma Jyoti, then he gets Brahma Jyoti. If he is attached to, if he performs Astanga Yoga, right, and if he wants Siddhis, he can get Siddhis. Or if he reaches the level of Samadhi, if he reaches the level of Samadhi, then depending upon what he wants, if he wants to serve the Supreme, then he enters into Bhakti Yoga. Or if he chooses to merge, then again he achieves Brahma Jyoti. But if one is detached, is on the level of Nishkam Karma Yoga, but is attached to Krishna, right, as in his Bhagavan aspect, then one gets, right, the final result, right, Krishna Prem, and one gets Golok Vrindavan. So depending upon one's detachment and one's attachment, one gets various destinations. So this is basically, right, the yoga ladder. Expert Brihat Madan Prabhu is sitting here on the yoga ladder. So basically, one has to, even while performing Bhakti Yoga also, one has to at least be on the platform of Nishkam Karma Yoga. That means one has to actually perform everything for the satisfaction of Krishna. The devotees also, right, it's not that we enter into ISKCON and then automatically we become pure devotees. Right, it is not like that. One has to follow the process. Right, one has to follow the process from unripe mango to ripe mango. So one has to, how does one follow the process? Everything, each activity has to be performed for the satisfaction of Krishna. So that means even devotional service can be performed in various modes. Right? Kapila Muni in third canto Bhagavatam mentions that how devotional service can be performed within the modes also. Devotional service can be performed in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, in the mode of goodness, and then there is pure devotional service. So one has to, the devotees also have to be very careful that whatever they are doing, why they are doing. Right? One may be externally performing devotional service. One may be externally performing all the items of devotional service, chanting, hearing, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam. Right? One may be doing performing kirtan, one may be giving a lecture, one may be preaching, one may be doing deity worship. Different items are there of devotional service which one might be doing. But one should introspect and ask oneself that what is the motive of me performing this specific activity? Right? All the leaders, right, whether they should be thinking, right, whether I am properly representing, or if I am, whatever activity I am doing, whether I am doing it for the satisfaction of Krishna. And when we talk about satisfaction of Krishna, it is not Krishna alone, and we cannot approach Krishna alone, we cannot please Krishna directly. So therefore the Acharya is there, one's spiritual master is there. So the safe position of performing devotional service is to become the servant of the servant of the servant, right, many times removed. Whatever activity one is doing, one may be preaching or doing anything, the safe position for all devotees is to think that I am performing this specific devotional service in order to please. The perfection or the success of me performing devotional service is whether my authority or whether my spiritual master, whether the Vaishnavas are pleased, whether Krishna is pleased. So if one performs devotional service with this attitude, then one can be safe. One is safe. Otherwise, one can be deluded by the mode of passion and ignorance. Right? Or even goodness for that matter. So pure devotional service, the distinction between pure devotional service and devotional service in the other modes is that pure devotional service is performed only for the satisfaction of Krishna. If one is performing devotional service, one has to be very careful because the mind can trick. One can be tricked by the mind into thinking that yes, you are doing everything right, you are doing the morning program nicely, you are chanting, you are doing service, everything is nicely, you are so enthusiastic in devotional service. But what is the source of that enthusiasm also has to be seen. One may be like utsaha, nishaya, dhairya, we say like that. But what is the source of my utsaha? That also has to be seen. That has to be introspected. That utsaha can be because so many people are saying, wow, you know, you are such a wonderful, you know, kirtan leader, or you are such a wonderful manager, or you are such a wonderful... For the sake of getting more and more recognition, right, that may be the source of the utsaha or the enthusiasm. So one has to introspect and be very careful, otherwise one can land up in trouble. Right? The devotees can land up in, pride can take over. And when pride comes, then everything is finished. Right? Pride is also known as Sukrera Vista. Sukrera Vista means the stool of a pig. Right? Pig is eating stool, and then that is digested, and right, the pig has its own stool. So pig stool, the stool of stool, right, that is considered as pride. So if one, how does one have pride? Because one might think that I'm independent, right? Or sometimes one might think that there is nobody between me and Krishna, direct contact. Or there is nobody between me and Prabhupada, direct. Right? So one must not think like that. One must actually serve in the mission of Srila Prabhupada in the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant. It is the safest position. So, just to end with one small incident in Srila Prabhupada's life. Right, how Srila Prabhupada's mood was there to perform everything for the satisfaction of Krishna. So there are two instances wherein Srila Prabhupada wrote. There is one instance in his diary. This is March 6th, Sunday, 1966, when the movement was not very much established. But at that time, Prabhupada writes in his diary, I'll just read out. According to Mayapur Panjika, today is Adivas Day of Gaur Purnima. Adivas Day means the inauguration of the festival. Adivas Day of Gaur Purnima, that means just around, right? We have just had Gaur Purnima. So one day before Gaur Purnima is Adivas Day. So according to Mayapur Panjika, today is Adivas Day of Gaur Purnima. Prabhupada is writing in his diary. Devotees at Vrindavan and Navadeep, they are enjoying the celebration. Prabhupada is somewhere in, I think, maybe New York or Los Angeles, maybe. Also, that is not mentioned. Devotees are in Vrindavan and Navadeep, they are enjoying the celebration. I am here alone without any devotee companion. Prabhupada is writing, I am here alone without any devotee companion. But I have come here to serve the Lord and not for personal happiness. And Prabhupada writes this, right, so beautifully. But I have come here. Prabhupada is feeling separation from, right, Gaur Purnima celebrations in Vrindavan, Navadeep. I am here alone without any devotee companion, but I have come here to serve the Lord and not for personal happiness. I am prepared to live in hell even if I am able to serve the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted that his mission should be propagated all over the world, and that is my objective. Prabhupada is writing, that is my objective. I am prepared to go to hell even if I am able to serve the Lord. I do not mind the inconvenience personally felt. So we can see this, that how Prabhupada, right, he is sacrificing everything. Right, and right, his mood is that I am prepared to go to hell and I am prepared to face, I do not mind the convenience personally felt. Even on one other occasion, Prabhupada writes a letter to Jadurani Mataji, wherein he mentions that, because somebody has, maybe Jadurani Mataji or somebody has written a letter to him, saying that Prabhupada, in Nectar of Devotion, it is mentioned that one should not take many disciples. So Prabhupada is writing that yes, right, it is given that one should not accept many disciples, but what can we do for the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? We are ready to go to hell. So this is the mood of the Acharya, right, which should be imbibed by every devotee actually, because ours is the missionary spirit has to be there. And that is the difference, right, between Srila Prabhupada's books and maybe other books, that in every page of Srila Prabhupada's books, his missionary spirit is there. So the devotees, they should imbibe this spirit of doing everything for the satisfaction of Krishna, even to the extent of personal inconvenience. I'll stop here if there are any questions or comments. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Thank you.